some of the laws of the 9 days. Everything I'm telling you is coming from this Sefer, this very fantastic Sefer called The 3 Weeks, Tisha B'Av, Another Fast, published by Art School, written by Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn is a big Pesach. It's not a Machmir. I wouldn't say that. He's a Pesach. He's a major Pesach in Lakewood. I met him once. He's a very, very fine person. He's the grandson. He's the grandson of Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Victor Miller.
You ever heard him speak personally?
I heard him speak once.
I heard him speak. He speaks differently to Hasidic Shalom than Olip Shalom.
Is that right?
He speaks more. He tries to speak Yiddish. It don't go over that well, so he reverts back to English. He tries Yiddish. He's a very casual speaker when he speaks to Hasidic Shalom.
Okay, let's begin. Let's discuss just a few things. I didn't cover all that much ground, so let's see what we can do. Number one, first halacha, the good stuff. What I really enjoy is the footnotes. The footnotes, he quotes from some real fantastic ideas. First thing is, the 9 days, you're not allowed to eat meat and wine. We discussed this in the Aruch HaShulchan. He quotes a lot from the Aruch HaShulchan. Why are you not allowed to eat meat and wine? 2 reasons. Number one is because of simcha. Mematin b'simcha. Ein simcha ella b'basar v'yayin. Number two, it is a zecher for the korban, for the fact that the korbanos are no longer offered. That when we do not eat meat, we are being reminded that the bitul hatamid, the korbanos, have come to an end. And that's exactly what was quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan. And yayin as a zecher that there is no yayin. This really is very rooted in the Gemara. The Gemara has a story where there was a group of people that decided that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash they will no longer eat meat as a zecher forever, no more. They're going to become vegetarians as a zecher for the fact that the korbanos are bottled, and they will no longer drink wine as a zecher for the fact that the nesachim are bottled. So one of the Amoraim or Tanoim, I do not remember, said to them, why stop there? This was Rabbi Yeshua said to these people, why stop there? You should not eat fruit. Shut down the fruit stores because Bikurim are bottled. Why do you even drink water? The mayim of the
bread.
Why eat bread? The menachos is bottled. So no meat, no wine, no bread, no fruit, no water because of the mesachim on Sukkot. They poured water, the simchas beis hashoeva. What else did they say? Okay, maybe there were some other things he said. So you should stop all of these things as well. Obviously, so they said to him, well, you know, we have to live. We can't exist without bread, without fruit, without water. Oh, you can't exist. You have to live. The same way you need these things in order to have a healthy existence, you also need a little meat, a little protein, and a little yayin. Yayin's good for the heart. A little red wine won't harm you. So you need that also as well. So therefore, this is not a good idea. Why did the Gemara mention this story to begin with? Because there is an element of truth in what they said. At least yayin and basar is something which a person can do away with and can survive, live a healthy life. So even though we do not accept them lahalacha to avoid these things the entire year, the entire life, however, at least during the 9 days, it has been accepted as a minhag that we do refrain from drinking wine and eating meat as a zecher for the bittul of the basar, the korbanos, and the bittul for the yayin of the nisachin. Okay, so this is the shita. This is what the minig is. Now we mentioned also Aruch HaShulchan. He quotes Aruch HaShulchan. If a person decides to eat these things, to eat meat and to drink wine, what exactly is the chait? The chait is he's over on an iser neder, because since we have accepted upon ourselves not to do these things, you're violating a neder. The violation of a neder, we've done this more than 3 years, we've done this for generations, for hundreds of years, if not even 2,000 years. Therefore, eating meat and drinking wine is a very, very severe avera. You're being over on an iser neder. So it's not something which should be played around with, to eat meat and to drink wine. Now, mi'ikar hadin, the prohibition is only the very last meal before Tisha B'Av. At the Sudas and Afsekas, it is categorically forbidden to eat meat and to drink wine. However, by extension, we have accepted upon ourselves the chumra to not to do this beginning with Rosh Chodesh. And even though we learned the Aruch HaShulchan, what?
Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazim, and even though really it doesn't make any why Rosh Chodesh, Manavshach, either it should be Shavua Shechalboi, or it should be all the way back to the 3 weeks from the time when the Korbanos came to an end. Whatever it is. This is the way it evolved. This is the accepted halacha that we begin with the prohibition from Rosh Chodesh. Now it's not okay anymore because we already passed the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, but you're not allowed to eat meat from the moment that the sun sets Shkia Sachama. It's not like Shabbos. Shabbos, if you are in the middle of Shalosh Shudis, you can keep on eating until after, even though it's dark. If you're in the middle of a meal and the sun sets, you have to stop. You're not allowed to eat meat past sunset, Erev, Rosh, going into Rosh Chodesh. Again, it's not again because it's already past that point in time, but that's the halach, that's how chomer it is. It's totally in the zman, and even if you are in the middle of a meal, you have to stop right smack in the middle of the meal and not eat meat anymore. Now that is the opinion, the halacha. Now, the truth is, what we do among Ashkenazim is not to eat meat during Rosh Chodesh. The Sfardim, they have a minhag to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. So these halakas and ogeya,
they eat meat the whole week.
They eat, so there are different types of Sfardim. There are different types. Okay, I take it back, there are different, maybe different types of Ashkenazim. He cites something in the footnotes, there are other minhagim, I don't remember all the names and the shittas.
As a kid, they would say that.
Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to eat meat. Rosh Chodesh is a yomtiv. You're allowed to eat meat, and therefore the halachas I just told you are relative nogeh for this afternoon. That if you're eating meat because you are of the opinion that on Rosh Chodesh there is no restriction, Rosh Chodesh is a yomtiv, you can eat meat all the way until sunset. But once the sun sets, even though it's not yet Seis Lakochavim, you have to stop immediately. You're not allowed to say, since I washed and I am in the middle of the meal, I should be permitted to continue carry over until it gets dark at night. No such thing. Once the sun sets, it's already in the category of the evening. It's already the second day of Av, and you have to stop eating meat and stop drinking wine. That is
any other heterim for 9 days on Rosh Chodesh?
Any other heterim for drink wine and meat?
No. Like, could you do other things on Rosh Chodesh?
Today.
Today?
And you do, today is considered the 9 days.
Right. No, all the restrictions already begin. As far as cleaning clothing, that's usur. As far as bathing, whether all the restrictions that you accept upon yourself, they are in full force even on Rosh Chodesh.
So this is like different than other Rosh Chodesh.
What do you mean?
Times on Rosh Chodesh, you can do things. During
of course, it's not the 9 days. Right. It's not the 9 days. Rosh Chodesh, because this is now the 9 days, right? It's not the 9 days. The Rosh Chodesh by Sfira, well, that all depends. It all depends if you are... I don't know, Sfira is a little bit confusing. It's different. Sfira is very complicated. There are many different opinions in Sfira. I don't know the answer. I don't know. But for, as far as we're concerned, Ashkenazim, among us, the custom is not to eat meat even on Rosh Chodesh. There are individuals, there are some customs that do allow you to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. Our bris is different.
I'm just saying, but it was still okay. An argument broke out.
Now there is another heter. The other heter is that if there is a general heter, and that is if you have a custom every Rosh Chodesh to make a su'udas Rosh Chodesh. There are people that cherish Rosh Chodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh, they make a su'uda with meat. A su'udas Rosh Chodesh.
They don't say Baruch Hinafshi by davening. They like
Ooh. The Gra. The Gra does not say Baruch Hinafshi by davening when?
So that two kapitel of Tehillim you don't say in a day. Either
today? What?
Or Baruch Hinafshi. Some people daven over there and come down there and say
what's
that they
the
don't
first
say Baruch Hinafshi.
Never. They never say
but
it.
Bavuf,
yeah.
They say Baruch Hinafshi by the Seder.
By the su'uda, not by the davening.
Yeah, okay.
So there are those that have a custom to have every Rosh Chodesh a su'udas Rosh Chodesh, a special meal. I know where I daven, every Rosh Chodesh, without exception, they have like a little tikkun, even if no yartza, they have like a little, they put out an honor of Rosh Chodesh. So that he writes as follows. He quotes Pesachim that if you have this custom that every Rosh Chodesh you have a su'uda with meat, it's always meat, then even those who hold that you're not allowed to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh would allow you to eat meat on the su'udas Rosh Chodesh and Chodesh Av. Because the su'udas mitzvah, A su'udas Rosh Chodesh be'emes is a su'udas mitzvah. Most people don't observe, don't do this. But if you do it, and you do it with meat, every Rosh Chodesh, so you show that you're not taking advantage. You're not taking advantage, you want to use it as an excuse to eat meat on the 9 days of Rosh Chodesh. By you, you've shown that it's a su'udas mitzvah, then you are permitted to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. You're permitted to eat meat on Rosh Chodesh at the Su'udas Mitzvah, but it's not a time for you for the very first time. Now I'm going to start a new minhag to eat a meal of meat on Rosh Chodesh in honor of Rosh Chodesh.
Is that like the mikvah svara, so that you're not doing it, take advantage?
Right. That's a general theme that comes out in all of his notes. Basically, all of his notes is that people who do things the entire year round are allowed to continue doing what they do the entire year round during the 9 days. But for you now, for the very first time in your life, take advantage and start doing things in order to find a legal loophole to eat meat or to bathe or to do whatever you want to do, that is awesome. If you do it the whole year round, continue doing what you're doing, but don't do it for the very first time. Okay. Now let's just, when does the prohibition end? When are you allowed, we want to talk about meat. When are you allowed to eat meat? When does the prohibition end? So it is our custom, Chatzos. Chatzos on the 10th day of Av is when the restrictions are lifted. Okay, that...
Music
also. Everything was lifted on the 10th day of Chatzos. However, that's not so simple. It's not so simple. He cites here in the footnotes that many poskim hold an Ikar Adin, the restrictions go all the way to the end of the 10th day. Because the Beis HaMikdash burnt to the end of the 10th day. So therefore, there's really no reason why we should be lenient and eat meat after Chatzos and do bathe, all of these things. This appears to be a leniency because the Tzibur needs very much to do these things. So we'll make it to do things after Chatzos. I guess together of Mixas Hayam Tikuloi. So that we make, but it's not an Ikar Hadin L'Choy, which means to the very, very end of the 10th day. Okay, now, let's go to the next. Now, children. Okay, he writes that children, this we get into a very big discussion, children are allowed to eat meat. Now, by the way, when we talk about meat, he makes it very, very clear there's no difference between poultry and meat or different types of meat. Everything is all part of the same category. Now, that's a bit problematic because if you learn the Talmud of the meaning is because of simcha, ain't simcha, ella, bebasar, v'yayin. So then you can argue basar applies to all different types of meat. Even poultry is also called basar. But basar is basar, it's simcha, it's a matter of pleasure. But if you learn it's because of the bittul of the korbanos, so there was no poultry offered on the mizbeach, there was no deer, verizin offered on the mizbeach, yet the minig is, the bottom line is, it is awesome, there's no question not allowed to eat meat, poultry, any type of meat is forbidden without any exception. Children are very, what? Yes, that's later on. If you Mekabel, it'll come later on, we'll discuss it right now. If you make an early Shabbos Chazoin, make an early Shabbos, Lechatchila, you can eat meat. There's no restriction. As long as you Mekabel Shabbos, you can begin to eat meat on Erev Shabbos. Likewise, if you have Mlav Malka, and you Mlav Malka, not Mlav Malka, if you Sholosh Sudas, if you Sudash Lishas extends into Mitzvah Shabbos, even to 3 o'clock in the morning, and you did not get bench, you're allowed to continue eating meat because it's still considered by you to be Shabbos. However, Milava Malka, there is no meat, no leftovers. Milava Malka, even though Milava Malka is begeder a Su'udas Mitzvah, it's a Su'udas Mitzvah, it's not on the league of a Su'udas Mitzvah which allows you to eat meat. It is categorically awesome to eat meat, Milava Malka, so eat up all the meat on Shabbos because the leftovers are going to have to wait until this year, until Wednesday afternoon. And if you're not going to survive the Wednesday afternoon, so then you're going to lose out because Milava Malka is not in excess. We'll come back to some of that. Let's talk about children. Children, are you allowed to feed children meat and give them some wine or give them some type of grape juice? Grape juice, or even give them flavored ices. Grape-flavored ices. Okay, it would appear it's osser. Will you believe it or not?
Unless it's artificial.
Artificial is made butter, but let's say it's real, made with real grape juice. Even, he quotes here from Poskim, even if the bracha is shahakol, if you take grape juice and you dilute it, or take wine and you dilute it to the degree where according to halacha it is so diluted, it's not called wine, it's called flavored water, flavored water, grape flavored water, and the brach is shahakol, the brach is not bar priya gofen, it is osur. You may not drink this during the 9 days. In America, it's not so popular, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's very popular. Eretz Yisrael is a very big industry of flavored water, flavored drinks. It's very big. When I was there last year in Eretz Yisrael, I was very, very surprised. It's all over the place. All different types. What?
Snapple, yeah.
All different. That's a Snapple?
Yeah,
but they have grape Snapple also? So yeah. Grape Snapple will be awesome. There's no question about it. Snapple? Grape apple. Grape flavored Snapple. There are many different flavors. Snapple, I'm not familiar with Snapple. I'm not all familiar, but obviously there are some problems. There's a flavor grape. They use real grapes. And even though you make a shahakol, it's diluted to the point you don't make a bar priya gofen, you're not allowed to drink grape flavored Snapple during the 9 days. That's what it says over here in this book. It's a chiddush. Okay, you ask the average person, they would say, why not? It's only flavored.
A lot of diet canned fruit. Yeah. It's sweetened with natural grape juice.
It's with natural.
Okay, that's what makes it sweet. They use grape juice to sweeten.
So it could be it's a problem. He does though quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he doesn't explain the difference. He doesn't explain. Maybe you can differentiate some based upon this principle. Is if dough, if you have made dough, if you've added to dough grape juice, it's mutter. The prohibition appears to be a drink. So maybe then your example of something that's preserved, it might be permitted. ISIS, I don't know. I take it back. ISIS. So ISIS, grape-flavored ice, which is made with real grape, is that together in the category of a dough that's been kneaded with grape juice, which is mutter? Or is that in the category of a flavored drink of a grape-flavored drink, which would be aser? I don't know. But he does make this distinction between a drink, which is osur, even if the bracha shahakol, and dough, which has been kneaded with grape juice, which is mutter. Yeah.
They used to start with two liquids, with the juice and the water, whatever. They were starting with a solid, the dough.
Is that the difference? Or the difference is, okay, it could be, I don't know, you have to think about it. He doesn't explain it. Look, he doesn't really explain the difference. Yeah. Could be that's the difference, yeah.
Is it part of a shishim?
No, the bittul? Yeah. Is there a din bittul when it comes to the rules? L'chor or not? I don't know. L'chor,
it's not
a kashrus issue. So I don't know. Yeah.
When you said a kid, do you mean a kid 10 years old, or even a kid 3 years old?
So let's discuss. I didn't get this that yet. So when it comes to a katan, there are many different ages. There are many different ages, many different ages with regard to a child. Okay, there's a child. There's a child that's until the age of 2 years old, which there is absolutely no prohibition whatsoever. You can feed this child. Well, I want to explain something. That generally, there's no restriction whatsoever. A child until 2 years old is always begedra choylesh ein bay sakana, and you can give him whatever you want. Once he gets to the age 3 years old, so there's between 3 years old and 6. That's an age where a child already has some intellect, but doesn't have any understanding of what it means to be mesalvim l'chor beis hamikdash. And then there's 6 to 7. Once already 7, 8 years old, there's a little bit more of an understanding, but not 100%. And then there's from 8 until bar mitzvah. So there are many, many different opinions. So here's what it revolves around. He presents this lumnus in the footnotes. It's a very beautiful lumnus. There are two dinim in avelus. There is avelus chinuch. There's chinuch, and then there is mishum agmas nefesh. And what does that mean? That's a principle that you find, Chmon al-Slan, by children who are in Avelis. That children who don't even know what Avelis is all about, they would also be dressed up with a shirt that's cut, and they are sneakers, and they would sit with the Avelim, not because you want to be mechanich them in Avelis. They have no clue. They have no clue to what's going on. It's done for the adults. It's an order the adult should have agmas nefesh. When an adult walks into a beis shiva, a place where they're sitting shiva, and they see little children sitting there who have lost a parent, or lost a sibling, the people who come to visit have agmas nefesh. And that brings about teshuva, that brings about some degree of awareness, it makes the situation much more... In the minds of people, they become more sensitive to the situation. So you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself. Therefore, there is an approach that says, meat should not be served to children, any child, during the 9 days, not because of the child. The child doesn't know the difference anyway. You give him meat, you give him chicken, you give him fish, you give him pizza. It's all the same to the child. Doesn't know the difference. As long as it's not a health issue, a parent should not give meat. So the parent should be sensitive that now we're at a time when there is no meat. It brings agmas nefesh to the adults when they are denied and they're not allowed to present their children with meat. Okay, so it's... What?
At a certain age, is Rabbi Chaim.
Okay, so let's assume the child is 8 years old, then they'll understand. Okay. So when the child gets a little bit older, then he will understand. He'll understand. But when the child is very young, the child does not understand. So then again, the issue is it still should be also because of agmas nefesh. We learned in the Aruch HaShulchan, he quotes this, is that goinzin hasakin during the 9 days. During the 9 days, the shoychtim had a custom to take the knife, the chalaf, and to put it in geniza, to put it away, to put it away that no one should see it. Why are they goinez? Why do they put the sakin in geniza? Why can't they use the sakin, the chalaf, to do shchita for the children? If you're allowed to feed children meat during the 9 days because they need to sustain themselves and they need it, it should be permitted. The answer then must be is because even children should not be served meat, even though doesn't make a difference for them. They don't understand those. It's for the adults. The adult should not do a ma'isa shechita, should not be involved in food preparation of meat for children, in order that the adults be sensitive to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, to what is happening during the 9 days.
How do you explain it to the child? I mean, what does he say? The child's 7 years old. I know I have a granddaughter. She eats chicken, she eats chicken nuggets, she eats this, that. All of a sudden I'm telling her, I'm sorry, I can't have chicken this week. Well, why not?
Tell her. So you tell her because it's now the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and during this time we are memayit and simcha. Eating this type of food brings us joy, and therefore we do not want to have joy during this time of a national mourning. And also explain because since meat was offered as a korban on the mizbech, the same two reasons. So you can explain this to a 7-year-old child; they'll understand very well. They will understand very well. They understand the longness of this. But again, there's another issue, a whole new topic called agmas nefesh. And that means even if the child doesn't understand what's happening, we're not doing it for them, we're doing it for us. Okay, now one thing I left that I wanted to go back, I forgot to left that, is that let's go back to the minute we mentioned before, that during the Rosh Chodesh, we do not eat meat. Now there's a very novel understanding of why we do not eat meat on Rosh Chodesh. Some want to say that's nothing to do with the 9 days. As far as 9 days are concerned, the restrictions would only apply from tomorrow, from tonight. The reason why we also do not eat meat today on Rosh Chodesh is because it's the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron's petir is the only death that's date is given in the Torah. There's no other person where it says the date. We can figure out the date. Another Aviv, we can figure out, incidentally, that they died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But it doesn't say it. It doesn't say it explicitly. We figure it out. But when it comes to Aaron, it says it was the first day of the fifth month, and Hashem says, Aaron, go to Har HaHar, and you're going to die right now. Being that the Torah actually goes and connects the dots with regard to Aaron, that his petir took place on the first day of Av, therefore, It's a different din. It has nothing to do with the 9 days. It's purely out of respect in mourning for Aaron HaKohen not to eat meat on his yard site. Okay, that was an interesting idea. Okay, they mentioned. Okay, let's now go to another idea. If a child on his own, one thing is very important. A child on his own eats meat. Okay, you come home. And you see that a child he took out of the freezer, let's say he's even a 10-year-old, he took out of the freezer, he took out a hot dog. Okay, he took out something from the freezer and he warmed it up in the microwave or made it himself. You're not supposed to say one word. It's enough, because in fact some hold that children, there's a sheet that holds that the prohibition to give meat to children, there was never such a takana. The takana, this idea of not eating meat is a very, very big chumrah. If we want to be machmir, the halacha is only the suda hamafsekes or shua shachalvay. Or if you want to extend it to adults who have more sensitivity to the korban. Children, there are opinions that hold that this never was a takana to deny children meat and wine during the 9 days. So therefore, the only place where it's practical, this concept, la halacha, is where you observe a child eating meat, you don't tell him, don't eat meat. If he'll come to ask you, or you're teaching him the halacha, you teach him, you don't eat meat during the 9 days, you don't serve him meat during the 9 days. But if he on his own, if you walk home and you see that your child is sitting there on your dining room table, he took out of the freezer some meat, and he warmed it up, and he's enjoying himself, let him enjoy himself. You're not allowed to tell him it's awesome, because really there is no isser whatsoever.
The Yemenis eat the meat up to the lesser.
What?
The Yemenites.
The Yemenites, yeah. They eat meat all the way until the very, very end. Right, they eat until the very end. Okay. Okay, let's now go to another topic. He does bring here Paiskim. He brings down over here Reisi Lekam Paiskim. They do differentiate between meat and poultry, which means if a person is not well, person doesn't feel well, even comes to children, once it's mutter, does not mean lechatchila you should jump to meat. If they would be satisfied, you can satisfy your diet, you can satisfy the need by eating poultry, that's what should be done. You should not automatically, you should make a distinction between meat and poultry. Okay, now let's talk about a su'udas mitzvah. When you come to a su'udas mitzvah, then you're allowed to have meat. What is called a su'udas mitzvah? There are only four types of su'udas mitzvah that are mutter to eat meat during the 9 days. And they are a bris milah, a pidyon haben, a siyum.
He says a bris?
What?
That don't list the bris as the su'udas mitzvah.
No, he lists. It's very clear. The Ramah says. Simon Tovkuf Nanalef. He writes with the Su'udas Mitzvah Kigoin. What are the Su'udas Mitzvah? Mila, Bris Mila, Pidyon Haben, the Siyum Mesechta, and then he writes Su'udas Erisin. Now, what in the world does that mean? He only gives three. However, the Paiskim, let's discuss this. Usudas erisin, oichlim basar v'shoysin yayin. And the Ramah says he is kigoin. He gives an example. Three different types of sudas mitzvah. Okay, number one is a bris milah. Number two is a pidyon haben. Number three is suudas erisin. And that is very problematic because there's no such thing as sudas erisin during the 9 days. There's no such thing. You're not even allowed to have a su'udah. We learned in Aruch HaShulchan that you're not allowed to have a su'udas erusin. You're allowed to have an erusin. A man is allowed to get married during the 9 days, at least erusin, but you may not have a su'udah. So what in the world does the Ramah mean when he writes here su'udas erusin? This is such a problem that the Gra says it's a mistake. The Gra says that these words somehow crept into the Ramah, and really it should be usvisium sh'or sefarim. I don't know how you go from su'udas erisin to su'udas to the words v'siyum sh'or sifarim, but that's what he does. That's what the mistake, and it means if you make a siyum on other sifarim, you can have meat and yayin. The other poskim, they add one more su'udah, a bar mitzvah. If you have a bar mitzvah during the 9 days, you're allowed to have meat. Doesn't say this, it's problematic because the Ramah gives examples kigoin and does not include this in his example. But yeah, lahalacha l'maisa, this is accepted that these are the four different types of exemptions: bris, pidyon haben, siyum, and bar mitzvah. Now, by a bris, who exactly eats meat by a bris? So this is not so simple. The Ramah, Mishneh Berurah, they're very machmir, they're very limiting. They say the only ones that they make two very important distinctions. There's a difference between a bris milah in the 9 days and the bris milah during Shavua Shechal Boi. Okay, Shavua Shechal Boi, the only ones that can eat meat are the Moyel, the Fa'avi Haben, and the Sandik, and maybe some people that are very, very, very close. Everyone else is not allowed to eat meat. During the 9 days, who can eat meat? Only the close members of the family. Not just 10 people, he says. 10 people. That's it. You got to be counted as one of the 10 people who's allowed to eat meat during a bris milah, but not more than 10 people, besides the immediate people who are involved, the father, the tzaddik, and the moel. You can add a few more people to make it to 10 people. Everyone else has to eat milchiks. Okay. Now, another thing is, you're only allowed to do this if this is something that you ordinarily do. If every time you go to a bris milah, if it's the custom of the community like it is among us, 99% of the time, there are exceptions, I would say at least 95% of the time, you go to a bris milah, it's milchiks. Okay, people do not have fleshiks. Therefore, if it is the custom of the community to have only milchiks, it's not the time during the 9 days to take advantage and, oh, now we're going to have meat and everyone is my very close friend and therefore everyone here can eat meat for the bris milah. That's not the proper thing to do. However, now he says something very interesting in the footnotes. He says, I don't know if this is true, but this is what he writes, many people, the only reason why they don't have meat during a regular bris the whole year round is not because they're not makbid on it. They really would do it. It's because people have to have a cup of coffee. And if you have a cup of coffee, you have to have milk. I don't know about that, because I don't have milk when I have coffee. And the milk, they have all the coffee whiteners. So since the reason why people, hear this, slum this? People don't have meat by a bris is only because of a cup of coffee. And the coffee is not a significant thing in halacha. Therefore, if you want to have meat during the 9 days for a bris, go right ahead. Go right ahead, because it's ki'ilu, it's zif, everyone in the whole Klal Yisrael in our generation is having meat at a bris milah. So therefore, the 9 days is really no different. It's what you do the whole year round. As far as the coffee, you'll have coffee whiner, and you could have your fleshik. So what about only 10 people? You know, the minhag is to be a little bit more generous, a little more liberal. 10 means, you know, everyone is part of the 10. Everyone is 10. Every table is 10. Everyone is part of the 10. That's an awesome chiddush to say such a thing. That the reason why people don't have meat today is because it's because of the coffee. I would think it's because it's expensive. Okay, who's having babies? Young people who can't even pay the rent. They're shver. Their parents and their in-laws are paying the rent. So the reason why they're having milchiks is not usually because of the core. It's not because, it's because money. In other words, the minhag is you don't want to have a, or because also, but the shver's what? It's not customary because it's not healthy. We don't eat meat in the morning. It's not good for our digestive system. It's a real far stretch, Rabbi Isai. It's a real far stretch. What he's saying over here, I can't remember. I have to look in the mood. I don't want to say the wrong thing. You have to look very carefully. I read it so quickly, and I try to do it good, but I can't remember the details. But basically, I don't think it's accepted. I cannot imagine today people would get away. They would raise eyebrows if they would serve meat today at a bris. It's just not the way it's done today. Look, we've all heard of these very beautiful, expensive, elaborate brisim on a Sunday brunch, 11, 12 o'clock, where they'll serve kesudah shalem shaita. We know about that. They put up tents outside. They make these very elaborate brisim. You're right. In a chanami, there are such things. Maybe those are exceptions. People who do this every time they have a child, they're very, very wealthy. They like to go to town. But the average person does not do this. And therefore, it's very, very, it's very bizarre for a person during the 9 days to all of a sudden make a fleishik dika bris. But technically speaking, it's mutter. Number two is the pinyan aben. Pinyan aben is done. That can be done. That's not an issue, because pinyan aben is normally done. It's normally done in the afternoon, even though it's not so simple, because Zrizim Magdimim, I know my Rebbe Rav Kahanau, he was always very, very upset. He was a very big advocate that a pinyan aben, when it can be done, it depends on the calendar, you know, it depends on the time, 29 and a half days, he held that lahalach, it should be done like a bris, it should be done as a breakfast, it should be done early in the morning, Zrizim Magdimim Lemitzas. But that's not the minhag olam. The minhag olam is to do it in the afternoon, and therefore in the afternoon we eat meat, and therefore there's no restriction. There's no restriction, only the close, immediate family, if you're having a small pinyan aben, 15, 1, 10, 20 people, so they all can eat meat. Everyone else really should not be eating meat at the pinyan aben. This is very interesting. No, Sudam you're not allowed to, no matter what. Sudam Hafsekas is not allowed. Sudam is a special halacha. Sudam Hafsekas, you're not paying a member of Sudam Hafsekas. I don't know, good shayla. I mean, it's very interesting. Maybe just don't make Sudam Hafsekas. But let's say you have to wait the zman in the exact moment. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, a bar mitzvah. Very interesting, a bar mitzvah. What is called a bar mitzvah? There are two different possibilities for a bar mitzvah to be a su'udas mitzvah. Number one, it is bo bayom. It is the calendar date. Okay, so today is the day when the person is bar mitzvah and the boy is not going to say a pshatel. No divrei Torah will be delivered at this event. That's still called a su'udas mitzvah. Let's say it's not practical to make the bar mitzvah bo bayom, and the bar mitzvah is delayed. It's delayed, let's say, a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, and now is the bar mitzvah, and you want to serve meat. It's also called the su'udas mitzvah if the bar mitzvah boy recites divrei Torah. So it does not need to be bo bayom. It can be afilu not bo bayom if you will say divrei Torah. That upgrades it to a su'udas mitzvah, the combination of divrei Torah, and it's a celebration in honor of a bar mitzvah, it's a su'udas mitzvah, and you're allowed to serve meat for the immediate family, which means it's a small bar mitzvah, you can serve meat. The fourth exception is a siyum, and we discussed this before, to make a siyum mesachta. This is very controversial, and we discussed different issues, different opinions. Some say that you're only allowed to make a siyum when it falls out. If Dafyomi happens to be Messiah and Mesech during the 9 days, without question, you can have a sim with meat and do whatever you want. That is without question, because that's when the sim falls out. If you're delaying learning the meaning Messiah, or you're accelerating the pace in order that it should fall out during the 9 days, this is a topic of discussion. Some say it's no good. Some say Adarabba. Chassidim seem to say it's a very good idea, because part of the sim is Achtos. You create the opposite of siddah sinam, ahava sinam. You create a degree of camaraderie. You create some avava, achva, v'reyos among people. So therefore, adrava, you should go out of your way to accelerate your learning or to delay the finishing in order to make a siyum during the 9 days. Now, what is called the siyum? So here you have some very interesting. Everyone agrees that a siyum of a mesachta of a Talmud Bavli or a Talmud Yerushalmi, you can make a siyum. What about learning a sefer of Tanakh? Any one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, you can make a siyum as long as you learned it bi'iyun. What about Shulchan Aruch? You have to learn an entire chiluk of Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's a lot. Learn the entire Or Chaim, Tara Choshen Mishra, Tara Yerdea, Tara Evan Ezer. If you learn an entire chiluk of Shulchan Aruch, you can make a siyum with meat. What about Mishnayis? So here you have a big machlokes apoyskim. Most poyskim say you have to learn an entire seder. Rav Moshe says in Chiddush you can learn three mesachtas. Three mesachtas you can already make a siyum with meat. And the third opinion, another opinion says even one mesachta, but you have to learn every rav and every tosfos yom tov. If you learn every rav and every tosfos, it's very hard. It's a lot there, tosfos yom tov.
Not eker tosfos
yom tov. The whole tosfos yom tov, then you can make a siyum on one mesachta. These are basically the four rules. Now, who can come to your siyum? All of the people that you learn with together. Therefore, in a camp, if everyone in our Yerushalayim, really, people who you're chaverim. And he discusses here what goes on in hotels and what goes on in boys' camps and girls' camps. Now, this is of Simcha Ben Kohen himself speaking. He says that in camp, in boys' camps, so the Or of Moshe already says, since everyone eats together in the dining room, in one big group. So if one person makes a siyum, there's no question, everyone is all part of that simcha, and the whole camp can eat meat, because anyway, they always eat together in the dining room at the same time. That's all Rav Moshe says. He, on his own, Rav Simcha Ben Kohen says, he does not understand why it is permitted in a girls' camp for a man to make a siyum. Now, I didn't talk about a girl making a siyum. He talks about a situation where it's very common, is that the men, you have a girls' camp, and you have a few families, so you have a minion of men, a big girls' camp. You have 500 girls. How many men are on premises, are on site? 10, 20, 30? You have a few families, and from the men, you don't have more than 10, 15 men. And part of the job of coming up for the summer is the men have to make a siyum during the 9 days. So he very strongly takes issue with this custom, because the men who are making the siyum have really nothing to do with all of these women, all these 500 girls. By the boys, it's a half a problem. But boys are boys. Men are men, boys are boys. They all mingle among each other. They all have a relationship among each other, and they're all eating together. But it's not snios for a married man to have an ASIC with 500 young girls. It's not the way it is. You don't see a man running around and schmoozing, having a relationship with them. Out there, it's scandalous, such a thing. All of a sudden, he's going to make a siyum and don't even know who he is. And all the girls, the whole girls' camp is going to eat meat. So he takes issue in the footnotes and he says he does not see a heter why it is permitted and what the custom, and it's done much more by the girls than by the boys. And the boys' camps, they don't necessarily make a siyum. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. In the girls' camps, it is a reality. That's the way it is. They have a siyum every night. Go investigate. They make a siyum every night in the girls' camps. What?
Today's girl camps have learning.
Oh, so you're going to tell me the girls make the siyum? Oh, in a chanami, if that's the case.
You always have a rav coming in, let's say the rav from the camp gives him a piece of halacha.
Maybe, okay, you're right. I'm just throwing this out because I found it to be interesting. You're right, he's machmir. I mean, it's not the minigol. The minigol is you go to every girl's camp, I guarantee, believe it's in a cloud, in the mountains, they have a siyum every night, at least until Shavua Shechalbai. I guarantee you. Shavua Shechalbai, Moshe says you should not. And Moshe says after day 7 and 8, you should not make a siyum no matter what. So Moshe says, it's not right. It's not right to make a siyum to eat meat during the 7th and the 8th day of Av. You could have it until day 6. After day 6, no more.
Okay.
And so the girls' camps, the mitzvah says they make a siyum every night, some makes a siyum, that's the way it is. The boys' camps, some do, some don't. They generally don't, I think, today. And some makes a siyum, they have a barbecue, so they make a siyum. It's an exception, it's not the rule. In the girls' camps, it's the rule. Because girls are girls. Girls have a different sensitivity than boys. That's the way the parents want it, and that's the way it is. And he questions why it's permitted. And then he comes, his pet project, his pet peeve, he goes into hotels. He says there's absolutely no heter for a person in a hotel to make a siyum on behalf of everyone in the dining room. Because no one has anything to do with each other. Every table is each to his own. Everyone sits at their table, has their waiter.
It's a very old book.
He says the minig is to go to any good hotel tonight. Today they're gonna have a siyum every single night. Every single night, he says. In his opinion, it's usher. What?
The waiter makes the siyum.
The waiter.
So all the tables under that waiter.
I don't know. Okay, the reality is, if you go to a hotel, you're guaranteed to have a siyum every night. That's probably what you're paying for. And he writes over here, it's shalai kedin, shalai halacha, that a person should be able to make a siyum in order people in the hotel can eat. They have nothing to do with each other. Every table, everyone is different. There's no inyan zeh, itzel zeh. Listen, that's the way the world is. Yesh
the
yesh.
The interesting thing was that with Rav Moshe, that he was mocked about the... problem was, he said that I was at a siyum when somebody made a siyum in the shul where I was. I mean, it was an hour shul. He happened to be there. He was invited to the siyum. And the person making the siyum got up to read the last few lines of the Masechta. He said, "What are you doing?" And he made him go back to the whole sugi, at least from the last Mishnah, or the whole sugi he had.
Really?
And he made him learn a blot and a half gemara.
Wow.
And the siyum took an hour and a half. Wow. And everybody was upset for him. But he forced the issue. He was in the siyum. He said, nothing doing. He said, what are you doing?
He says something shocking here. He says, "What? Let's say you listen to a Masechta. You listen online. That's not online. You listen to tapes. You go online, Torah anytime, you listen to a daf yom, you go to a shir. You sit in a shir and you listen. You sit there and you listen and you shuckle for a whole masechta. Can you make a siyum?" So he says, it's not so pashut. It's hearer. If you're sitting out, you're a participant in the daf yom and you're listening, or you're listening to tapes, you're maharher, you're listening, you never actually said the words. You didn't give the shir. Technically speaking, it's a problem. And he says, Igor Hadin, you should not make a siyum on such a type of learning. You have to actually chazer, review it, and you have to, words have to come out of your mouth. That's not the minig, Rabbi Isai. The minig is, if you go to a shir, you listen to the daf yomi, you can make a siyum. These rules, I don't know, he's very, very machmir when it comes to a siyum. We make siyum right and left.
Here?
What?
We do
once in a while. We made one last year. Last year we made him siyum when we finished. Was it last year? It was last year. We made him see him near me, right? We made him see him last year. Last summer? End of last summer. The poster was on the wall outside, right? Wasn't that last year? That was... At the last safe. We had it last year. We had after when we finished. After Chumash Megillus. We didn't do after Yirmiyah. Right? We did after Chumash Megillah, so we did not do after Yirmiyah. We're waiting for Yecheskel. Do Yecheskel and Yirmiyah together. They're contemporaries, right? Yeah. They're contemporaries. We'll do it together.
So father, son, according to some
father, right? Son, yeah. Yirmiyah was a son. Yecheskel was a son.
It says a lot of that's why, because it says Yecheskel ben Buzi.
Yeah.
And Buzi. Yirmiyah
is Buzi. Yirmiyah. Okay. All right. One other thing, unless you come late to a Siyam. Everyone has to show you come late. You come late to a Siyam. This is very again when it comes to Tainus Bechorim, Erev Pesach. You don't hear that. You don't hear me Messiah make the Kaddish. You just come in the middle of the meal. He writes, okay. That's a very bikula, very very bikula. You don't have to be present at the actual Hadnalach, Datinalach, Lonisnashiminach. You don't need to be present. You can just come while they're eating. You come late in the middle of eating. Oh, good. What do you got? Some good meat. You got some steak. 9 days. Very good. I'm going to enjoy. Okay. We'll take a short break. Or should we just go by? We'll take a short break. 2 minutes. A very short break.